You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
A lot to do on the show today. The schedule is out. We went through a detailed, I would say optimistic, run through the schedule, but you can be the judge of that. I was at Bears OTAs yesterday. One of my videos of Justin Fields throwing a bomb to Treston Ebner, who dropped it, but it was a beautiful throw by Fields. It's got 30,000 some odd views on Twitter. People loving seeing anything about Justin Fields. Maybe I'll post some videos of him handing the football off. But it was an interesting day at OTAs. They made the offensive coaches available to talk. And I sat down with one of the coaches who I, quite frankly, did not know before yesterday. But Tyke Tolbert, who has coached in the NFL since 2003. He was a wide receivers coach for the Cardinals, the Bills, the Panthers, the Broncos, and most recently the Giants from 2018 to 2021. So he's now the Bears receivers coach. And he has the job of getting Velus Jones up to speed, right? So third round pick, let's go Velus. You can do this. But they're asking him to do a ton of things. So I asked him, like, hey, how realistic is it for you to get Velus up to speed in five different categories, in essence? So this was Tolbert's reaction to that question.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. But, you know, if it was easy, anybody could do it. I mean, I could do it if it was easy. So it ain't easy. But the thing to do, in my opinion, is throw it at him now. Put him in multiple positions now to just throw him in the fire. He's going to mess up. Like all receivers, they're going to mess up. But see what he can absorb and take in. And then when we start to get in the fall and game plan, now we know he's been exposed to this. He's been exposed to that. He's been exposed to that. Now you put it all together. Now he knows how to do a lot of things rather than just playing one position.
My takeaway from that, it ain't going to be easy. And keep your expectations low for how good Velus is. So don't rip the guy if he's not incredible out of the gates. A lot for that guy to digest, considering that he was only a productive wide receiver 1 year in college, last year with Tennessee. And from there, I moved over to running backs coach David Walker. 25 years coaching experience, 7 in the NFL. He was the running back coach with the Colts from 11 to 14 and the Lions from 2016 to 2018. So it's been a minute since he's been in the NFL. I enjoy talking to him. Seems impressive to me. Matt Eberflus, good hire, buddy. But they have a Colts thing going on with Bears running back David Montgomery, and how they can get him to the next level in his fourth year.
What's could be the next level for David? Obviously he's off to an unbelievable start in his career, but what do you see as, like, what's next for him?
David has the opportunity to be as good as anybody in this league. He's got the skill set, he's got the mindset. He's going to get his opportunities, quickness check, vision check, power check. He's got all those things. There's some guys that his style is kind of similar to, that we're working on studying this offseason a little bit. the guy minus the 40-yard dash speed time, okay, minus that. But the guy that's really, really similar to him that had a breakout year last season is Jonathan Taylor.
So that is high praise, high desire, David Montgomery to Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor led the NFL in rushing last year by a wide margin. Number one at 1,811 yards. That is way ahead of Nick Chubb, who had 1,259 yards. Now, they both averaged 5.5 yards per carry. Chubb played in 14 games, Taylor in 17 games. But we're talking about, what is that, 550-some-odd more yards for Taylor. And, of course, last year, Montgomery missed time. He only played in 13 games and finished with 849 yards, which was 17th in the NFL. So that's a huge jump, but you got to like the way they're looking at this. And I also think that there's that Colts connection, Matt Eberflus coming from Indianapolis. Hey, do these guys look similar? Key thing, though, yeah, Jonathan Taylor is faster than David Montgomery, but I think they see a similar stuff in shiftiness. So it's a heck of a comparison. Hey, we think that David Montgomery, looking at the film, could be just like Jonathan Taylor, who was the best damn running back in the NFL last year. So I thought both of those were interesting little moments in Bears time. Get Velus up to speed, get Montgomery to the next level, work on the offensive line. Lucas Patrick, I mean, this guy's just a lunatic. Here's 5 seconds of Lucas Patrick.
I think it's great. I mean, bring 30 guys in. Like, we can only have five, and it's only going to push guys further. It's going to push me further. I'm going to push other guys further. I can't think of a better scenario, even for me as a veteran, having so many young guys that, you know, they see different things or they're asking me questions.
It's the Bears' new center coming over from Green Bay. Ryan Poles, you know what the hell you're damn doing on the offensive line. At least you better. That's your forte, buddy. And I love this guy's leadership. That's great, Ryan Poles. I love that you drafted four offensive linemen. I'm not worried about my job. I'm worried about getting better. It's good for me. It's good for them. And he's had another comment about the NFL. The one thing you got to love about it is the competition is pure. Who's better than who? That's who's going to have the job. There's plenty of politics, I'm sure, but maybe when it really comes down to it, it's, you know, you got to be better than your fellow man. And if you're not, you're going to get cut. And if you are, you're going to be on the team, in essence. And when you're not, you'll be out of the league. This dude's a competitor, and it just screams at you when he's up there talking. The Bears, they're looking for quality people. Rework of this franchise, Lucas Patrick, they found one in him. Just a little snippet from what's going on. Actually, one more. My guy, Trevor Siemian, former Wildcat. I never thought Trevor was very good with the Wildcats. I always wanted Kane Coltner on the field. Northwestern fans, you may remember, they were both on the team, and Fitz was splitting time with both of them. Now you look back, should Trevor have been the guy, I mean, every down, right? He's been in the league for, looks like the guy's going to have a 10-year career. And the Bears wanted him badly enough that they took him on when they had Nick Foles under contract. Trevor's happy to be home.
I love Chicago. Glad it worked out, and I'm here. My wife was super excited, too, so it's good to see some old buddies. I got a chance to go back to Northwestern for a practice. Feels like home.
Snippets from training camp brought to you by At The Carm. Hey, if you're liking this podcast, feel free, please, click that 5-star rating and put a comment in. It'd be amazing to get a comment from you if you're enjoying the pod. But let's go through the schedule. Let's get my guy Patrick Schmidt in here. DoWindy City Bears pod during OTA starts right now.
Showtime.
Schmitty, I think we are the last pod to tackle the schedule. So saving the best for last. That's what we're doing here on DeWindy City. Good to see you, pal.
Good to see you too. Last but certainly not least. And this just means that we've had the whole weekend to really digest these 17 regular season games, the 3 preseason games, Matt Nagy coming back to Chicago for what I'm sure is going to be a great reception from the from the fans at Soldier Field. But yeah, 17 games. We teased it last week. We're going to, you know, break down as many games as we could and offer up our early win-loss predictions. And I don't want to spoil it here, but I think I'm going over my initial win-loss projection when we were talking earlier this month. So I'm feeling the good vibes and I'm feeling optimistic today.
I mean, I got a great path to 8-9, 9-8, but I put my prediction out on the old Twitter social media extravaganza. And yes, I can. You can get yourself to 10-7. You can find yourself to, you know, it's not hard to get to 5-12 either if you want to be negative. But I do think there's just a lot of fun quirks to the schedule here. First off, the Bears three more times in prime time. Here comes Green Bay in week two. Like getting the Packers early. You've got a chance at a primetime win when you play the Washington Commanders in week six on a Thursday night. And then you've got a sweet week seven primetime matchup. We're going to go through all the games here. But you get to see Mac Jones on a Monday night and visit the Patriots, where the Bears have just gotten crushed. But I do think it's the Bears are still good TV, good and or bad. But I think it is noteworthy that all their primetime games early in the season – before the full tank is on. Let's go. Three times, first 7 weeks of the season.
Yeah, that's an opposite of what it was last year, where they had so many games in primetime towards the end of the season with the anticipation of the unveiling of Justin Fields. They did open up primetime against the Rams and then had some of those games flexed out at the end of the year. Maybe we'll see the reverse also hold true this year, where some games are flexed in because the Bears are playing better than we thought. In April and May, when the schedule was put out, Justin Fields is lighting the world on fire. This defense is looking back to its old monsters of the midway form. We got some offensive playmakers emerging, coming into their own. Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, fingers crossed. But yeah, I hear you. There's a path to talking yourself into a lot more wins than initially thought. And also conversely, boy, is this going to be a 3 or 4 or 5 win kind of team? So, yeah, I'm leaning towards the more optimistic side of things. Certainly things can change in a hurry with injuries. Nothing changes quicker day to day, week to week than in the NFL. So as we break this down in mid-May, certainly a lot could change between now. Hey, maybe the Bears sign Odell Beckham Jr. in a few weeks. That would certainly help things, right? And, you know.
I've got an Odell note coming up here I think that you'll enjoy as I was just going through each game, which is what we're about to do. Feel free to jump in on the chat. Records for the Bears, excitement on the schedule, OTAs. I'm going to be out at good old Hallis Hall tomorrow, so follow at the Carm on Twitter for I'll be putting up some videos, and we'll have some whatever's being said at the podium as well in the afternoon, giving you the full coverage over here. But I do like one of the most fun things for me this year for the Bears, as far as the schedule is concerned. You get to see Fields be, you know, obviously he's not competing against the other quarterback, but you get to see him against Zach Wilson. You get to see him in week one against Trey Lance. You get to see him against Mac Jones. So those are all just kind of storylines to see where the organizations are. Shmitty, should we start off with week one and the Niners at Soldier Field on 9/11? The pageantry is always going to be huge. You know, horrible day in the history of the country, but we'll honor it. And, of course, lost to the Niners last year, 33-22. San Francisco leading the all-time series, 35-32-1. They've split the last six, and here we go with Lance, the third overall pick, and Fields, the 11th overall. Let's get this season going, baby.
Yeah, let's take like a minute or two each game here. And operating under the assumption it's going to be Trey Lance as a starter, moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe he's traded between now and the start of the season. But if it's Trey Lance, I think that increases the Bears' odds of getting a win. If it's Jimmy Garoppolo, I think the 49ers are going to be the favorite to win that game. 49ers are a better team on paper. It's in Soldier Field. New coaching staff, maybe there's the element of the unknown there. So if it's Trey Lance against Justin Fields, let's give this one a win to the Bears. I told you I'm feeling optimistic.
I don't know why I just find the whole thing humorous. This is just what we do on May 16th, I guess. But it's interesting that you're saying if you actually think that this might implode on the Niners. Am I hearing that right?
Well, I mean, what's going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo? If he's still on the roster, I think he's going to be the starter. If he's not on the roster, then obviously it's going to be Trey Lance. But if they're both on the roster, Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback right now. Trey Lance might be a better option long term. But, yeah, if it's Jimmy Garoppolo, I think 49ers win. If it's Trey Lance, I think, you know, I'll take the Bears in a coin flip.
That's just okay. I mean, I'll be stunned if it's not Trey Lance. I think that's why I'm picking the Bears to win in the opener. You're going up against a brand new, basically, quarterback, didn't play last year. The floose will be loose on opening day. Let's go. And, hey, there's great history against the 49ers and the Bears. One that stood out to me back in history, that was the Gale Sayre 6-touchdown game. It came against the San Francisco 49ers, damn it. So why not get a win on opening day and be 1-0 and have the city go absolutely freaking crazy that Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace are gone, the Bears are 1-0, Justin Fields looks good, David Montgomery's doing his thing, Darnell Mooney's sweet, we got a ton of cap space coming next year, and we're 1-0, baby. But then here comes Green Bay. I don't think – and literally no one on the planet has picked the Bears to win this football game, but yet because it's Bears-Packers, they're putting it on national TV Sunday night. Let's go.
Yeah, 1-1. let's move on to week 3.
Just for the record, 18 straight years that the Bears and Packers are facing each other in prime time, and most times it's up in Green Bay, 14 of the 18. Of course, the Packers coming back to Chicago late in the season. Green Bay at the beginning of the year, they can be a little wonky. I'm just going to say that. Let me just put that out there. Last year, week 1, got smoked. Aaron Rodgers laughing about it. It had just been in the jungle all summer long, taking pictures on waterfalls and whatnot. And you've got a lot of moving parts up in Green Bay. So I will just say in week 2, whatever the spread is, I'm going to take the Bears on the point spread. Just mark that down, but I'll have them to lose the football game. So 1-1. All right.
I don't think Rodgers is chasing waterfalls this offseason. So yeah, 1-1.
Oh, okay. Week 3, here comes the Fighting Lovie Smiths, the Houston Texans to Soldier Field, noon kickoff. Texans are 4-1 all the time versus the Bears. Bears getting the win in the last game, which was 2020, 36-7. Our guy Mitchell Trubisky, not really our guy, but God bless. 3 touchdown passes. David Montgomery, an 80-yard touchdown run. I'm feeling 2-1 here, right?
Yeah, 2-1. Justin Fields getting the win over Davis Mills, another quarterback from that rookie class from last season. And like you said, you teed it up. There's going to be a lot of those matchups this year, but Bears are a better team than the Texans. Texans are way behind in the rebuilding effort, even with a pair of first-round picks this year. But, yeah, I like the Bears to win this one. And this should be a convincing win, should be a showcase kind of a game. So, yeah, 2-1.
City's loving it. 2-1. Let's go to New York. Can they get a win at the Giants? Start the year 3-1. I was asking around to my gambling people, like, what are the odds that I could get on the Bears being 3-1 and going to – New York would do it here in what we're setting up. October the 2nd, week 4, noon kickoff. 5 straight years, by the way, playing the Giants. Bears have won 3 of 4, Schmitty.
I got a winning streak here. Got the Bears winning this one over Daniel Jones and whoever else, Saquon Barkley and the Giants. Giants aren't a very good team. So this is a win for the Bears going on the road in the MetLife Stadium. I like it. 3-1. Let's go, Bears.
Can you imagine if they're 3-1?
Acing the first quarter of the season, Justin Fields year 2, the Floos and Ryan Poles era, getting off to a nice start. It's a soft entry there with the Texans and the Giants back-to-back weeks after 2 tough playoff opponents to start.
This is my Odell Beckham Jr. note from you. Last time in New York, lost to the Giants, it was 2018, 30-27 in overtime. I don't know if you remember that game, but at the start of it, it was a horrendous, horrendous interception. 46 seconds in, Chase Daniel getting picked off. 8-yard return for a touchdown. Oh, my God. But then the Bears had an insane comeback, and you had the pass in overtime from Tariq Cohen to Anthony Miller. Cody Parkey with the extra point sent the game into OT. Odell Beckham threw a 49-yard touchdown pass in that game and also caught a 1-yarder. The Bears lost that game, snapping a 5-game skid. They were 8-4 at the time. the Giants improved to 4-8. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that. It was a good trip down memory lane. And boy, some of those names, Tariq Cohen, Anthony Miller, Cody Parkey. Wow. Like I said, things change quickly in a hurry in the NFL. But yeah, this should be a good test for the Bears to go on the road and get a win here. 3-1 Bears.
All right. 3-1. And now off to Minnesota, October the 9th, week 5, noon kickoff, second division matchup after facing off with Green Bay in week 2. So we've got a new head coach in Kevin O'Connell. We've got a new front office. Mike Zimmer finally out after 8 years. New look Vikings.
Yeah, new look Vikings. I think this one could be tough going on the road. Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins, that combination is as much as we want to knock Kirk Cousins, the guy still puts up numbers. No matter, you know, he may not be the flashiest guy to do it, and he gets criticized because he's getting paid, you know, handsomely. But the numbers are there. The results are there. I think this is maybe a little bit of a close game, but I think the Vikings win it. They got the home field advantage in this one. So Bears fall to 3-2.
Minnesota's super interesting to me. You've got Kevin O'Connell's their new head coach. He was with the Rams the last 2 years as their OC, right? The Vikings, by the way, in this point in time, they'll play Green Bay in week 1, Detroit in week 3, and then they're playing the Saints in London in week 4. No bye, coming on back to face the Bears. Advantage Bears right there, right? I still have them losing the game, but that is that is challenging for the Vikings. Demetrius Washington was just hired, by the way, as their vice president of football operation. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is running the Vikings now. This dude is super interesting. He's got a bachelor's and master's degree in economics. He was a commodities trader, gets hired by the 49ers in 2013, moves up the food chain, and now eventually is the Vikings GM. He's got a bachelor's degree in economics from Princeton. He was a walk-on on the Hoop team, master's in economics at Stanford. This guy was a portfolio manager, the whole thing. I just naming that the Minnesota Vikings are going super analytical up there. It's and very young. So, I mean, old man Mike Zimmer and that whole, it almost feels like Moneyball and the Oakland A's up in Minnesota right now. But I got I find what they're doing just very interesting, considering the Bears have obviously hired polls and doing a regime change. It'll be interesting to watch like who did it better in this offseason as time moves forward. I didn't give my Giants pick. I have a loss to Minnesota. Win against the 49ers, loss to the Packers, win against the Texans, loss at the Giants, and then a loss to the Vikings. So I got the Bears sitting at 2-3 right now. You've got them 3-2 as we move along to Ron Rivera, week 6, Thursday night, October 13th, 7:15 with the Commanders, baby.
Yeah, the Carson Wentz-led Commanders, if he's still starting at this time in week 6. But home game, Thursday night, prime time. I think we're going to see the best game of Justin Fields so far this season on this game, Thursday night, October 13th. I got the Bears getting a nice win, improving to 4-2 on the year.
I really love your optimism. I mean, why not? Commanders under 500 last year, 7-10. Carson Wentz. Shout out, by the way, from DeWindy to Ron Rivera, who is the winner this year of the George Halas Award. The Pro Football Writers do that. That's given to an NFL player, coach, staff member who overcomes adversities to succeed. I mean, this guy had squamous cell carcinoma. They found cancer in his neck in August of 2020, and then 35 proton therapy treatments, chemotherapy, the whole thing. Never misses a game, and just keeps on moving through. And here, and Chico was a huge, very very popular when he was a Bear player. Man, that guy should have been a head coach and or promoted more heavily when he was a Bear. But any rate, we get to see him on the field. Commanders, yeah, I've got that as a win. So evening up the record at 3-3, you're at 4-2. And here we go off to New England. Let's go take down Bill Belichick. Week 7, Monday night. It's October the 24th at 7:15. Let's go.
Yeah, going to Gillette Stadium, always a tough place to play for the opponent. Mac Jones, Justin Fields, there's going to be a lot of debate about that to see who's doing the best of their sophomore seasons in the NFL. But I just don't see how Matt Eberflus is going to beat Bill Belichick in this one. So I got the Bears falling to 4-3.
If there's one game on the damn schedule that I want them to win outside of being the Packers, I would just can we beat Belichick? Seriously, one freaking time. Belichick's beaten the Bears the last five. 8-9 overall. Last game they won was back in 2000. Shane Matthews over Drew Bledsoe, 24-17. Way to go, Shane. That 8-9, by the way, the 10th game, that was a Super Bowl, baby. 46-10, up your ass. God, it was, but that's not the, I didn't hate New England back then because they weren't led by Bill Belichick and company. I've got them losing to the Pats. So I'm at 3-4. With back-to-back road games, that's twice on the schedule, by the way. They go back-to-back, Patriots, Cowboys, and then coming up with the Falcons and the Jets. But off we go to Dallas, and yes, it's Halloween weekend, noon kickoff, week 8.
Yeah, AT&T Stadium, this is going to be a tough matchup. I would like to see Justin Fields kind of go toe-to-toe with Dak Prescott here and kind of match him throw for throw, score for score. Really like a lot about the Cowboys. Certainly the Cowboys, they are known to come up short in some marquee moments. I don't know if week 8 in the regular season against the Bears would be a marquee moment. But I like the Cowboys to win this one. It's just going to be a tough one to win here. So got the Bears falling to 4-4 on the year.
So the AT&T Stadium thing is interesting, Patrick, because, you know, Bears, Arlington Heights, I don't know, is literally everybody going down there with Ted Phillips to just look at every part of AT&T Stadium. But on the field, Cowboys have their bye the week after this game, which is not overly relevant, but I do think perhaps the game that they have after the bye is, which is Mike McCarthy going back to Green Bay to face the Packers. So anybody looking ahead in Dallas, just looking ahead to that Green Bay thing? It's a reach, maybe a reach and a half, but that is the game after the Bears. So if there's one thing that Mike McCarthy wants to do, I'm sure it's beat Green Bay. Of course, he knows the Bears well too. They got the Lions the week prior. Cowboys schedule, man, they start out with the Bucks and Bengals. That's about as tough of a start as you can get. I do have the Bears losing to Dallas. So for me, they're sitting there at 3-5 after 8 weeks, coming home for two games with Miami first and then the Lions. We can tackle the Dolphins. Here comes Tua. Noon kickoff, November 6th, Soldier Field, baby.
Getting out of 500 and getting a winning record here, 5-4 back in Soldier Field. I think the Bears are going to have to win a lot of their games at home this year, really defend the Soldier Field turf. I'm going to need Bears fans to sell at all these home games. Tua, the Dolphins, I don't know. I don't really know what to make of the Dolphins this year. So I'm riding the home field advantage. I'm riding the middle point of the season here where any kinks in the road or whatever you want to call it, I guess the familiarity portion of the schedule, I think things are starting to click and things are starting to gel. Chemistry is apparent between Fields and Velus Jones and Darnell Mooney. Cole Kmet's coming into his own. This young Bears secondary with Kyler Gordon and Jalen Johnson and Jaquan Brisker, they're coming into their own here. So I got the Bears going to win and improving to 5-4.
Five wins, baby. Sweep out the Dolphins. How's this? The Flus hits principle comes big in the Bears taking the football away from Tua and company. Somehow, some way, shutting down Tyreek. I don't know. That's Tyreek Hill coming to Soldier Field. That in itself is probably worth the price of admission for your, what was that? What do we got here? Week 9. And then week 10, it's the Lions. So back-to-back home games here. Bears have beaten Detroit 7 of the last 8, so going for 8-9. And can the Flus have the same success that Matt Nagy had against the Lions?
We got another winning streak on our hands. Back-to-back wins here. Bears improved to 6-4. It's the Detroit Lions in Soldier Field. It's got to be a Bears win.
I've got them winning that as well. So that is for me. You're at 6-4. I'm at 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm at 5-5. We have evened it up at 5-5 through 10 weeks of the season. Respect to you, Detroit. I was looking back at the history of this because the Bears are on this stretch here, you know, going for their 8th win in 9 games. Before that, though, they lost 9 of 10. Before that, they won 9 of 10. The longest streak of beating the Lions comes back in the mid-40s to the 50s when they got them 11 straight. So, for whatever reason, the rivalry has been a streaky one. Not when one team is better than the other, they tend to roll through. But here we go to week 11, and huge revenge week, sort of, kind of, I guess. Ryan Pace and company at Atlanta. Noon kickoff on November 20th as we edge towards Thanksgiving.
7-4, 3-game win streak. The Bears are coming into their own here. The Justin Fields MVP chatter is starting to heat up. That's definitely a stretch. But, hey, if they win 3 in a row here, if they're at 7-4, we're talking playoffs at this point in the season. We're talking Matt Eberflus as a potential coach of the year candidate. And any questions we had about a lack of playmakers on this Bears offense, it's quickly being diminished week by week as the Bears just rack up win after win after win. This would be 3 straight. But again, 3 inferior opponents, 3 games on the schedule that you have to win if you want to kind of meet your goals here and kind of be legitimate and not be a laughingstock in the NFL like they have been. But yeah, I like this. This has got to be a win. 7-4. Marcus Mariota is the Falcons quarterback. I mean, come on.
Let's go. And the whole team is ex-Bears. Trivia, yeah. I mean, name a former Bear that's on the Falcons right now, either A, in the front office or on the field. You want to pick one, Patrick?
Well, I know Cordero Patterson.
That's one. We've got Pace, who, by the way, is working with Phil Emery, who's been with the Falcons since as one of their scouts in 2016. Pace is now a senior personal executive on Terry Fontenot's staff, which Phil Emery's a part of. I thought that was just kind of a fun little moment in time. Jermaine Ifedi, Demir Byrd, Tease Tabor, Elijah Wilkinson, the tackle, running back Damian Williams, all on the Bears roster right now, all in Atlanta. Ryan Pace is just an absolute beauty. You mentioned Patterson. They also got Mike Davis down there. Rashad Coward is down there. James Vaughters, and also the coaching staff on passing game coordinator Dave Ragone, when he was with the Bears, is their OC. Running back coach Charles London is the quarterback's coach. And also Michael Petrie is another former running back coach, is the outside linebacker's coach now for the Falcons. I mean, like, unbelievable. Bears South, baby.
A lot of journeymen, you know, nobody, I don't think anybody's going to, like, I don't think those guys are going to be like, God, we got the Bears. This is our revenge game opportunity here. But that is pretty odd, pretty odd. I wouldn't have guessed it's that many guys that have once been employed by the Bears.
I mean, what have we been having to use a successful regime over here? Like, we just want to pick up all the Bears. I think,
yeah, it's just, like, pluck guys from the Patriots and like the Packers and the Chiefs, and like winning organizations. Not like, yeah, we got, you know, 10 guys from a franchise that's won 20 games the last 4 or 5 years, whatever. Hey,
I mean, okay, all right, Atlanta.
We got Ryan Pace and Phil Emery on the payroll together. That's not good.
I mean, that it's just rich. This is serious rich stuff. Okay, so we're to week 12. And back on the road, off to New York, second trip to New York, as the New York Jets are awaiting on Thanksgiving weekend. So the Bears not playing on Turkey Day, November the 27th. And we get to see Zach Wilson, who got a lot more support in the offseason than Justin Fields has gotten to this point.
Yeah, Zach Wilson, the number 2 pick in the draft. Thought Justin Fields was going to be the number 2 pick in the draft for the longest time. That didn't happen, but the Bears go 2-0 in MetLife Stadium, improved to 8-4 on the year, 4 straight wins. Now we are sniffing a playoff appearance here. Just got to get 1 or 2 more wins to really feel secured about our playoff lives here. Justin Fields is looking like a Pro Bowler at this point in the season. 4 straight wins here in November, the third quarter of the season. And for the Bears fans during the Nagy Pace era, the third quarter of games is pretty much been the downfall and the demise of the Bears over the last few years. would not score any points at all whatsoever in the third quarter of games. But in the third quarter of the season, the Bears go 4-0. The schedule just kind of breaks that way with some really bad opponents and some home games here on the schedule. But yeah, somehow, some way, the Bears are 8-4 right now.
So when you're sitting at home doing your schedule and you get them to 8-4, do you look in the mirror and think like I'm just an idiot, or do you like, oh, this is amazing, I'm a beautiful person?
A little bit more of the latter, but also 8-4 could quickly be 4-8. I mean, these games are, you know, the Bears beat the Jets by 3 or 4. They beat the Falcons by 3 or 4. They beat the Lions by 3 or 4. You're talking about one or two plays that could change these wins to losses. So it's not 8-4 with an exclamation mark. It's 8-4 with a, you know, question mark. It's like I'm Ron Burgundy. So, you know, it's a very tenuous thing.
Yeah.
You know, long story short.
I know. I listen, I love the optimism. And for the record, I do have a beating the Jets. I got a loss to the Falcons. So I'm sitting at 500 here after 12 at 6-6. You're at 8-4. God bless you. Yep. And then if they're 8-4 at that point, speaking into existence, damn it, the week 13, the week before the Bears finally get a bye. By the way, though, when you play on Thursday night, that's in essence a pseudo bye. And after that, they have it's a Monday night game. So there are some little breaks in the schedule for the Bears that I could end up being flused up, if you will. But here we go. Week 13, Green Bay at home, noon kickoff. Aaron Rodgers, I own you. I still own you. The rematch game.
Here we go. Bears, winners of 4 straight games, sit at 8-4 on the season. Aaron Rodgers comes to town, and the Bears, unfortunately, lose this game. Have their 4-game winning streak snapped. Fall to 8-5 on the season here. Hopefully, it's a closer game than the one in Week 2 in Lambeau might be. But it's going to be a tough one to win on paper here. We'll see how things materialize if the Bears really are 8-4 at this point in the season when they play. It won't be a pushover game, but Green Bay is too good. They got a better roster, and, of course, Aaron Rodgers is the difference maker.
I literally thought you were going victory. That was a good
– Ask me on December 3rd or December 4th, and, you know, maybe I'll have a different answer then.
It was a good hitch.
I hope I do.
It was a good hitch and go. I bought in, which makes me think of our guy Adam Hogue over at CHGO, who had me over there to talk about Tariq Cohn and his piece in the Players Tribune, which I'm assuming that you've seen by now. But we did a little snap of the football there, which is kind of like what you almost just did. It's in some weird shape or form. So thanks to those guys. And thank you for getting me at least optimistic that the Bears could be competitive with the Packers in some way. Yes, I've got them losing that one. I've got them losing bad. 6-7, they fall to going into the bye, which is not terrible, although I'll probably be saying at the time it'd be a lot better if they were further out of the playoffs and higher up on the draft board. But week 14, you get the bye, and then you come home to the Philadelphia Eagles as the travel schedule lightens up here at the end of the year. It's December the 18th. It's snowing. And by the way, Matt Nagy never won a damn game off the bye. Does Matt Eberflus do it in his first time?
I think he does. I think he does. And the Bears get to 9 wins. I like Jalen Hurts, but I don't love Jalen Hurts. I think this is a game where Justin Fields has to be – you got to win the quarterback matchup. And I think Justin Fields can do that against Jalen Hurts. It's a home game. I think that's another advantage for the Bears. So it's going to be another close game. A lot of these wins that I have for the Bears, I don't have them blowing anybody out outside of maybe the Texans, maybe the Lions, you know, we'll see. But yeah, 9 wins by week 15. Let's do it.
Listen, I've got them beating the Eagles. So back to 500 for me. And it actually somewhat matters, no matter like if that they come out of the bye week and look different than they normally did last year and years before. We're like, somehow you would think you're getting an edge, and it didn't happen. I would love to see this year that whatever's going on with Fields at the time, they come out and he's just 3% better, something where you can just see that the coaching staff is having an impact, unlike the previous regime. So let us move along to now it is Christmas weekend. Christmas actually falls on a Sunday, so the NBA is going to get rocked by the NFL because there's going to be games going on, but there's a ton of games on Saturday as well. The Bears playing on that Saturday, Christmas Eve, and playing Super Bowl contender Buffalo. I'm assuming you've got the Bills.
Like the Bills in this one. The Bills, maybe they're my pick to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But the Bills, very, 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 very good. Josh Allen might be the MVP this year. Just a great team. Would love to see an upset here on Christmas Eve. Give us all a Merry Christmas. Just don't know if Santa Claus is going to deliver that gift this year.
Yeah, no, I don't think Santa Claus is coming by Soldier Field. It'll be beautiful. I hope we get a white Christmas. It'll be sweet to measure yourself up against the NFL's best. It's a great opportunity. They'll be rolling into the playoffs most likely. The Bears, in your spot, at least they'll be fighting for a playoff spot at that point. But a great opportunity late in the year. Here comes Buffalo. I do have Buffalo winning the football game. And then we got two games to go. Interesting. You play on Christmas Eve, and then you play on New Year's Day on the road at Detroit. Normally we're up there on Thanksgiving, but this is the lone road game in the last five games of the Bears season. So very, very, very light on travel at the end of the year around the holidays, which I'm sure makes a lot of Bears players happy.
Yeah, certainly a nice little variable or intangible as far as the schedule makers were concerned. This is the win that gets the Bears to 10, to double-digit wins. And if this happens, Matt Eberflus is the coach of the year. The Bears are this year's Bengals, the team of destiny. I'm not saying they're getting to the Super Bowl, so maybe I'll take that one back. Well, Richard, edit that out.
I honestly, Richard, if you could put together all of Schmitty's wins, yeah, that is the video from this week.
Yeah,
this
that's
is
a highlight.
This is unbelievable. 10 wins, huh? Okay, yeah. Keep going. All right.
And happy New Year. The New Year's resolutions this year is Justin Fields owns the league. He's coming for Aaron Rodgers. This is the win that gets the Bears in the playoffs, and they're gonna play Green Bay in like this in the second round, and they're gonna beat them. First things first, I think it's Detroit. You got to sweep Detroit this year. You got to sweep all these, you know, the two New York teams, the Jets and the Giants. You got to beat the Dolphins, the Falcons, the Eagles. And if you could get at least split the Vikings, it's a crazy roadmap. But when I dial it in on Google Maps, I got the Bears getting a 10 win somehow. They're arriving at that destination.
I mean, I'm mocking you a little bit here, but I got them at 9-8. I ain't betting my life on this, but I've got them beating Detroit, and then I've got them beating Minnesota last game of the year, January 7 or 8, most likely the 8th, but we'll see. It could be a Saturday game. Minnesota at home. Normally it's on the road, but here we go with the Vikings to wrap up the season. For whatever reason, the schedule makers love this. Seventh time in the last 9 years, it's the Bears and the Vikings wrapping up the year. You got them. You have them losing, though, huh?
No, I think I got them winning this one. I think I had them losing in Minnesota, but winning the finale in Soldier Field. Don't know if it's going to be secured, the playoff spot heading into this weekend. So I think they're going to have to go all out, play all the starters. We'll see. I don't think Minnesota is going to be a playoff team this year. So I think the Bears finished second in the NFC North. And maybe, you know, if this is the 11th win on the schedule, which I did not think I was going to get to 11, I was thinking 9 would be high. And now I'm wondering if I'm the one that's high to say the Bears are going to get 11 wins. But yeah, somehow, I mean, you know, the Dolphins game, the Eagles game, one of these Vikings games, those could, you know, coin flip games, maybe even the Falcons game. I don't know. So 11 wins, 11-6 could easily be 6-11 on a couple plays here and there. But we're thinking best case scenario. I'm drinking the Navy and Orange Kool-Aid. You know, the Flus is loose. Coach of the year, Justin Fields, Pro Bowler. And he's going to get some MVP votes if the Bears win 11 games.
I think you're the most optimistic person in the city. I think that's wonderful. I feel blessed to be your partner. I think that you're going to look bad, but that's okay. Go big or go home. And hey, why not? 11 wins. I've got 9-8. I'd feel more comfortable if it came out at 8-9, but I've got 9-8. Go to Vegas and put your money, you don't need to go to Vegas anymore these days. Get yourself on FanDuel or wherever. 6.5 is the over under. Might as well. It's one of the great value bets because you get to root for the Bears every single week, and you know, see if you can cross over that threshold. Schmitty, good stuff. I
thought 7 wins when we were talking after the draft. I thought 7 wins would be okay. I would consider that a success. 11 is best case scenario, like icing it. Like, here's your cake. Here's a bunch of icing. Here's some sprinkles, some whipped cream, hot fudge. Like, that's best of the best of the best case scenario here. But I'm choosing to live on that side of the coin here. But I think there is a path to be a little bit better than we're initially thinking. The roster isn't necessarily an 11-win team, but there are some guys with huge potential behind them, and it's all on number one, Justin Fields. If Justin Fields looks like the guy we think and hope he can be, 10 or 11 wins is possible if things kind of fall into place. If he's not good and this line is still shaky, the two young tackles, the young playmakers, Komet and Mooney and Valus Jones and these guys aren't really developing, and the defense still has some holes. Nobody else is getting to the quarterback like Roquan Smith. Khalil Mack doesn't have anybody in front of him to keep the blockers off him. And this young secondary is having some growing pains. Then we might be looking at a 5 or a 6-win team. But there is a big variable here going from 5 wins to 6 or 7 wins to 11 wins. So the challenge is in front of them.
I say just don't even mention anymore. 5, 6.
I should have said 16-1. I mean, yeah, honestly.
Well, you basically did. 11 wins to the Bears in 2022 is like 16 wins to the Bears in 1985. So you're at 16-1. Quickly, I don't know if people saw the Bears schedule release video, but we pulled a quick snippet of it, and I'm wondering, was this show better or was it this from the Bears schedule release, whatever the hell this thing is?
Let's do it.
I mean,
it's kind of corny.
Let's throw. Good for you, Bears. I'm not gonna shit on you like everybody else is out there. But actually, I am. That is, you could do better than throwing footballs into a container. You just can. Hey, go stand over there and throw it in the container, and we'll say it's Green Bay. Ha! We're the Bears. I mean, come on, man. I know you can be more creative.
Yeah, got to give the thumbs down to the social media department and the marketing team and the whole brain trust there. I mean, you see some of these scheduling videos, and the Chargers had the best one where there was like an entire anime, and it was like each week was an entire story, just incredible visuals and just next level, like just brainstorming and just creativity. Like, holy cow. It's like, you see that and then you see the Bears, you're like, that's it. Like, come on, man. Like, definitely corny. Like, it feels like they woke up on Thursday morning and they're like, oh shoot, the schedule comes out today. Do we have anything planned for social? And then social was like, I thought you guys were doing that. So I don't know. I think it's time to start game planning and brainstorming the 2023 schedule release video, because we got to do better than that.
Right. I mean, honestly, get Flus in there. You are not living by the hits principle in this video. You're not. There is no intensity here. There is no takeaways. There's just lameness of snapping the ball now into a garbage bin and saying that we're doing something creative. You can do better, Bears. It's okay. I know it doesn't impact winning on the field, but you know, just one great organization doing great things.
I blame Ted Phillips for this.
Yeah, and here's another thing, Ted. You know, Darren Revelle put out a tweet earlier today. Apparently, he was walking through Midway Airport. I don't know if you saw this, but here's the tweet. You know, Bears add up now at Midway Airport. Trubisky, Mack, and Tariq Cohen. Come on, man. I get it. I guess you're about the front of the jersey and not the back, but you know, Darren's right to call it out. Trubisky's a Steeler. Mack's on the Chargers. Our guy Tariq's a free agent. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to chalk this one up to Midway Airport, the second airport in the city. I don't think this is a Bears fault, but it goes to show you, I mean, how quickly things change. But gosh, Trubisky, he's going on year two now of not being on the Bears. At least Mack was on the Bears last year, and yeah. Tariq was technically on the Bears roster. Didn't play, but yeah, Midway, get your shit together.
So you think, hold on a second, let's break this down. You think that this works out, that like the Bears are a client of Midway's and it's up to Midway to update their however they promote it, and they just drop the ball? Or my contention would be like the Bears have a contract with them, they're supposed to send them new stuff, run this, put in your rotation, and somebody over there is just dropping the ball?
Yeah, I think there's multiple people to blame here. Let's get this Justin Fields ad campaign going now.
Right.
I mean, come on. Like, how is he not, like, remember when, like, Derrick Rose was on, like, the cover of, like, Jared Donald's pizza boxes? Like, come on. Let's get his face and name everywhere. Mitchell Trubisky, get the hell out of here.
Like, I mean, right. I mean, don't make Bears fans see that. Yeah. You know, come on, man.
This is why I always fly out of O'Hare. I mean, come on. Midway's a dump.
I love Midway. I'm a Midway fan.
Truthfully, like it is like less stressful to fly in and out of there because O'Hare is an absolute circus.
I mean, if you live in the city too, nice, give me a good orange line to Midway. It's always quicker. At any rate, okay. Hey, Darren Revelle, nice job, buddy. Way to see something and take advantage. Of course, I assume that was an honest job by Darren and he wasn't making stuff up. He's an honest guy, right? We trust Rovell. He wouldn't do that.
No, he's a nerd. I don't like him. We already gave him too much airtime. I know he's watching the Windy City. He's going to tell him about it. Yeah.
He loves this show.
Come back to him.
He's a yeah. Huge, huge fan of the show.
The pride of Northwestern.
The pride of the Cats. All right. Another show in the books here, Schmitty. Schedule release done and done. OTAs tomorrow. So we'll have some content coming out for you from whatever's going on at OTAs. I'm expecting some thrilling damn OTAs with Flus looking professional, Fields looking strong. Positive comments are going to be flowing for sure, but we'll try to sift through whatever news is out there as we build up this 11 win, damn it.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears 2022.
11 wins or bust.
11 or bust.
I'm putting my bet down on win bet right now. 11 wins, hitting that over on the win total.
If you actually hit that on the exacta, I don't know if that's a thing, but get Ben Heisler in here. If you actually bet 11 wins, I wonder what odds you could get on that.
I'm going to retire because I'm going to hit that, and then I'm going to retire, and then I'm gonna buy the Bears.
It'd be better than buying Bitcoin. Hey, hit that subscribe button. Appreciate you checking out the Windy, however you did it. And yeah, Patrick, we roll on in the off season, brother.
No days off for us, except Tuesday through Sunday, and we'll be back Monday. If it's Trey Lance against Justin Fields, let's give this one a win to the Bears. I told you I'm feeling optimistic. Yeah, I like the Bears to win this one. And this should be a convincing win. Should be a showcase kind of a game. So, yeah, 2-1.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
I got a winning streak here. Got the Bears winning this one over Daniel Jones and whoever else, Saquon Barkley and the Giants. Acing the first quarter of the season. I told you I'm feeling optimistic. I think we're going to see the best game of Justin Fields so far this season on this game Thursday night, October 13th. I got the Bears getting a nice win, improving to 4-2 on the year. Justin Fields year two, the Flus and Ryan Poles era. I did not think I was going to get to 11. I was thinking 9 would be high. And now I'm wondering if I'm the one that's high.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.